You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday. Mike McMahon for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. I'm moving in my chair, just so you know. The bunch of stuff in the news. The attacking man, bitch. Talk about that a little bit this morning. What you see, initial reports, and what you see with your eyeballs. And the video looks like it's from the attack. A lot of times, right after the attack, stuff will get put up, and it's not, it's hoax stuff, so kind of wait. But all the images line up, and so talk about what the video shows, and then what the reports say, and what you can conclude from all of that. We'll also talk about a report in Navy Times about a photo that has emerged in, what are they holding now? Hold on. It was introduced yesterday in a surprise move during Tuesday's hearing. In a Washington Navy Yard courtroom, defense attorneys representing Lieutenant Natalie Combs held up a new piece of evidence that might exonerate her at her upcoming court-martial trial. So what is this that they're doing? They've already held the Article 32, so I don't know what this is that they're holding before the court-martial. So she's going to face a court-martial. And then, I guess we'll see what happens after that. So we'll talk about that too. Also, we've been talking about the Fitzgerald. And again, I've been interested because to me, the incidents on the Fitzgerald and the McCain are indicative of a Navy that's become a civilian organization. And that is so culturally broken. It's ridiculous. And it doesn't have a whole lot in common. It has more in common with the civilian world than it does with the military world. Yeah. And so, and the stuff that you read on the shit that happened is stunning. So we've been reading that stuff. The writer of most of this stuff is a guy named Jeff Zazulowitz. He used to write for the Chicago Tribune. And he writes for Military Times now. So Jeff's going to join us in about 55 minutes. So we'll talk to him about his work that's been much in the news the last week. And for those of us who pay attention and want to and don't understand what we see, that's kind of significant. So that's. That's what we're doing today. I did want to comment real quickly that Chuck Schumer's hair transplant looks great. I don't know who does the work on his head, but holy smokes. I mean, most of the time, those hair transplants, and Chuck's been he's been on it for a while, but he stands, and he's kind of a slope-shouldered dude, right? So he's kind of bent over. And so when he reads in the Senate, he's always got his head down, reading out of a binder. And that means, like, his hair transplant's front and center. And most of those, I don't know, whatever reason, you can see them. I don't know, they look like corn stalks in their head most of the time. But Chuck, if you look at his head, it's quality, somebody did quality work. Yeah. So, I don't know who does that kind of stuff, but, yeah, whoever it does, I mean, look at him, Chuck Schumer, he's got it all going. So, I just was watching him a little bit ago, and I thought I'd bring that up. So very good Thursday morning to you. Today's the 17th day of January in the year 2019. It is Thursday. That means tomorrow's Friday. So today's a normal work day. Tomorrow, Friday, you dial it back a little bit. Everybody knows that. So, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps band is about to make it official. Good morning. And it's dedicated to everybody who's making their living in Syria. Keep your heads down. Be careful. That place is a tricky place.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with him brings motivation to him.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness. Do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the temperatures in Marineland. Cloudy and 36 in Quantico. Mostly cloudy and 42 at Camp Lejeune. Clouds and 49 in Granbury, Texas. Mostly cloudy and 52 in 29 Palms, so it's warmed up in California. Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 57. Pendleton's got 3 weather alerts, so you know what that means. We got to investigate that. Beach hazard statement, small craft advisory for hazardous seas and high surf advisories. So you get to see footage tonight of all the jackass people that go out and surf. So good luck to them today. Make sure you have your life insurance premium paid up and someplace where people can find it. The policy anyway. Okinawa. Dark, cloudy, and 59, so a little bit cooler in Okinawa. In the Helmand province, I'm sorry, in the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, dark, cloudy, and 54. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, dark, cloudy, and 62. At the home of All Marine Radio, raining again. And 60 degrees. So it's a little bit warmer. Yeah. Tonight down to 48. Partly sunny tomorrow. So yeah, a little glimpse of the sun tomorrow. Fired up for that. 63. And on Saturday, yeah. No rain. 73 degrees. And mostly sunny. So that is a look at your weather. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll talk in the news, all right? We're going to talk about, we're not going to talk about Chuck Schumer's hairline again. In reference to Chuck Schumer's hairline and how great it looks, it's not the same person doing Nancy's face work, that's for sure, Whoa, hey, everybody needs to settle down, all right? Sit down, have a cup of coffee. Let's, everybody, if you don't have something nice, all right, think about it. Think about it. Words hurt. Words hurt. All right, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
/7:21 on a Thursday. So the if you look at the video of the attack in Manbij, there's some kind of security footage from a camera down the street. And so the initial report was they were on a patrol and suicide bomber, blah 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 blah. But if you look at it, you know, a dismounted patrol in the center of the city. And, you know, it doesn't look like that. All right? And then if you look at the other thing, if you look at the pictures, there was a huge fireball that came out of the attack. And so, and then these are the results. Two U.S. service members, one DOD civilian, and one contractor were killed by an explosion. Okay, so DOD civilian, interpreter, probably, right? One contractor. Who is that? Is that an OGA contractor? Is that, right? So who is that? And what were they doing? All right, anyway, let me finish. Were killed by an explosion while conducting a local engagement in the northern Syrian town of Manbij on Wednesday. Three other U.S. service members were injured in the blast. according to U.S. officials. ISIS claimed responsibility for the attack through the group's propaganda arm. The terror group said one of its members conducted the attack in Manbij using a suicide vest filled with explosive material, but I don't believe that. Okay. Video of the attack was reportedly recorded by a closed-circuit TV camera, showing a busy street with civilians passing a storefront restaurant where the incident occurred, just before the blast erupts from a building. Another set of videos recorded by local news agencies and civilians showed what looks like to be a Sikorsky S-92 helicopter conducting a medical evacuation of U.S. troops from the area. That helicopter is not in the U.S. military's inventory. However, the platform could be contracted through the Pentagon or some other government agency. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, a Syrian war monitoring group, said 9 civilians were killed and others were wounded in the blast. That number varies between 9 and 14. Okay, so let me just give you some thoughts on it. Suicide vests, right? Usually are made out of C4. They form it into a vest. They pack it with ball bearings. The ball bearings get pressed into the vest. And then it's what you can wear. Okay. The explosions tend, they're explosions, right? So there's a flash and a boom. Right, that sends the ball bearings everywhere. But it's only what you can wear as a vest that doesn't look too obvious because there's going to be people standing around watching. So you're going to present yourself as a bystander, maybe as a waiter, maybe as somebody who works in the restaurant, and you're going to walk up into this group. All right. And if you look weird, right? If you look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, you might get shot. So anyway, there's one thought. The fireball that you see, what produces fire? Okay. Propane gas canister does. That produces fire. When that gas explodes, when that canister explodes, you would get a fireball. Not just the blast of military-grade explosive going off with a flash. So whatever exploded in there was not some kind of vest, all right? I can tell you that with certainty. We'll talk to Mike about it. But you don't see that fireball without something that can create the fire. Key leader engagement, also known as KLE, right? So it says they were conducting a local engagement. So what sounds like what happened is either the engagement was compromised or it was a setup. One of the two. A lot of times you'll see a local engagement, right? We're going to go out and meet with a source. We're going to meet in a restaurant, you know, not away from everybody. You roll the dice with your life when you do that. But there's people who do that professionally for a living, and it obviously comes with risk associated with it. So it looks like that's what they were doing. Either they got set up by somebody who was on the bad guy's side, or... And so to me, you would never meet with anybody that wasn't affiliated with somebody because they know. They tend to not have rats in their own ranks. So if you're a Kurd, you tend not to be aligned with anybody else but the Kurds. And so it's a Kurdish town in northern Syria. So did they go outside of that to meet a source that was not a Kurd? Because the Kurds would know. You know, they would know. So you would go with them, You know, you conduct a meeting with them, blah, 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 blah. So, again, so when you see this stuff happen and you begin to pull it apart and think, well, you know, what happened? Who are they meeting? You know, they're in, for God's sakes, they're in a Kurdish city, right? And I'm sure there's all kinds of local nefarious actors there. But when you're going to go meet somebody, right, you tend to pull the string and find out, who is this person? What could they tell me? If nobody knows them, then you may meet with them, but under very strict conditions. You know, to meet with somebody in a restaurant and be in some kind of state of disarmed state that somebody could approach you, yeah, a number of things went wrong yesterday. So, anyway, I just thought I'd share those thoughts with you as I kind of looked at pictures and read articles. Anyway, keep those families in your prayers today. The other story that has my attention, and we'll talk to Jeff Zazulowitz about it here. Yeah, I mean, the fireball from that suicide attack, I mean, it's huge. It engulfs the entire front of the restaurant, and you'll see still images of it. So my guess is some kind of propane explosion. You know, somebody coming down the street with a vending cart. Somebody coming down the street with a vending cart and detonated it? I don't know. The other story is from the whole Fitzgerald thing, right? There's been four articles written that have appeared in Navy Times, and Navy Times got their hands on an investigation that was done. Jeff Zazulowitz is writing the article, and the investigation was done by Rear Admiral Brian Fort. It was completed 41 days after the collision. So right in the aftermath, he was there to greet the ship when it got back. And, you know, he and his other investigators, you know, proceeded to do preliminary investigations, finding a fact, blah, 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 blah. And again, submitted very quickly after the event. So Jeff Zazulowitz has, he's been writing articles about that week. Coincidentally, the officer that was on duty in the ship's combat information center. So imagine, a combat operation center. We call them COCs in the Marine Corps, right? All that stuff that collides in one spot, right? The Navy calls it a combat information center. Okay, the CIC. So there's an officer in there. They've got all the screens. They've got all the radars. They've got all that. And that person electronically tracks and watches everything. Okay? So that's what happens in the CIC. The CIC talks to the bridge. The CIC talks to the sailors in the crow's nest, if there are any up there anymore. And that's what I haven't heard. Who's on the exterior of the ship? And that's what I want to know. So anyway, I'll ask Jeff that. But anyway, Jeff's written these articles. Okay, so the officer that was on duty in the ship's combat information center is undergoing some kind of legal event. I don't really know. Because here's what's weird about it. Okay? She was, in my opinion, clearly negligent in the performance of her duties. Her negligence contributed to the deaths of seven sailors aboard the USS Fitzgerald. She should certainly go to the brig. When they did the initial investigation, right? So Admiral Fort does the initial investigation. He says that Lieutenant Combs was derelict in her duties. The guy who hears her Article 32 hearing, a commander by the name of Anthony Johnson, went through the same evidence and recommended that she skip the court-martial proceedings and go instead to a Navy Board of Inquiry, which determines if you're fit for duty. Like, what? I don't who this Commander Anthony Johnson, United States Navy, is? Like, who the hell is that guy? So, you're negligent in the performance of your duties, and what we come away with is, yeah, we're just going to waive the disciplinary event, and we'll just go straight to a board of inquiry, which will determine if you should remain on active duty. Normally, the BOI comes on the backside of, you know, any disciplinary stuff. And so you're reading it, and it's just like, what? How does this happen? People are dead, people were negligent, and nobody's held accountable. So what happened was the Navy installed a consolidated, what do they call it? I think it's called a consolidated disposition authority. And that admiral, his name escapes me right now, but he's overseeing both the Fitzgerald legal proceedings, and he's overseeing the McCain legal proceedings to make sure that they're done in a very similar fashion. He threw that out, and he said, no, she's going to get court-martialed on those charges. So he disregarded Johnson's recommendation, and he charged Combs with dereliction of duty that negligently resulted in the death of fellow sailors and negligent and improper hazarding of a vessel, which, in my opinion, are absolutely appropriate. And if you've heard the program earlier this week, and you heard the stuff that they found in the Combat Information Center, it's a joke. You know, you've heard Mike Musselman talk about how he feels about piss bottles. They found those in the CIC. Now, remind you, there's a bathroom down the hall. Okay? They could smell urine inside the CIC. There was half-eaten food. There was old food. There was food everywhere, which you tend not to do. Okay? There was exercise equipment, you know, inside the CIC. All that stuff in a Marine Corps COC, you don't see. There are times when people have to eat, because you have things going on and you can't leave. Somebody normally goes and gets you something to eat. They bring it to you. You eat in a certain area, and then it's thrown away because it's a workplace. And that's the way, those are kind of the rules of the road. In terms of exercise equipment being one of them, are you kidding me? So, anyway, I say all that to tell you this. A photograph, right, was introduced, and the headline says, photo emerges that might exonerate Fitz defendant. And what the image allegedly portrays is the wrong configuration of running lights on the ship that the Fitzgerald ran into. Right? It's called the ACX Crystal. So they say that exonerates her. The lights are supposed to be configured this way, right? Green on one side, red on the other. If they had these other lights up, it might have confused the people on the bridge. Well, the officer in the Combat Information Center, she's not on the bridge. So she's not dealing with that. And so, I don't know. I read this stuff, And I try to pay attention, And I'm no dummy. And I've been to sea. I spent 2 years at sea aboard an aircraft carrier. And I spent time in the Combat Information Center, right? And so I spent time on the bridge. So I've seen these things. I just, for the life of me, it's like the Navy is so jacked up that this is an attempt for her to cover her ass with some bullshit thing. And look, when you look at the picture, it was a clear night. How nobody saw this thing coming means that nobody was paying attention. And now she's trying to get out of it by saying, oh, see, they had their, I don't care if their lights are wrong. So their lights are wrong, so it crashes into our ship. We're not tracking it. We don't see it on radar. Radar doesn't see lights, right? Right. Right? And even, and I'll tell you a quick story. We're off the coast of San Diego, and we're doing our Ready X, which you have to do before you deploy. So we're doing our Ready X, and the SEALs are going to come out to aggress us in small boats. So we have the 50 calibers mounted around the ship because we had been told that the Iranians, where we were going, they had some stuff going on. And they might either attack us with aircraft or boats trying to, you know, do some damage. Okay, so we put the 50 cals out there. Marines controlling them. I'm up on the bridge or in CIC with a headset on talking to my Marines. And this night I'm on the bridge. So, and these are Marines that don't know shit about driving a ship, okay? And so what they would do is they would report ships when they saw them. Sir, and we gave a little class, right? How to identify ships on the horizon. And so they give you these silhouettes, and then, you know, at this height, if he's on the horizon, that's 12 miles. So they'd say, you know, and all these bearings were relative, right? You know, 3 o'clock, 12 miles, right? So you look, you see it, you know, you look at the radar, you can see it on the radar, you're watching the surface plot, they've identified it, they're tracking it, blah, 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 blah. So on this night, Marines are saying, hey, sir, are they tracking this tanker off the starboard side? Because we're going to cross paths with it. And I said, let me ask. And I looked at the junior officer of the deck, and I said, hey, are you tracking that tanker? And he looked at me and goes, yep. I said, okay. Right? Now, I'm on their soil. If they came out and were doing a live fire exercise with us, and they said, hey, you know, it doesn't look very safe that, you know, people have their hands on the pistol grip, you know, is that okay? And I looked at them and said, yeah, that's what we do. That's okay. And they, what would they say? Oh, okay. So I said, okay. I go back, you know, and I'm watching the radar, and they've got that ship accounted for, and we're going. And my Marines, I don't know, 10 minutes later, said, hey, sir, they haven't adjusted, and we haven't adjusted, and we're going to hit or come close if this thing continues. So a second time, I bothered the officer of the deck. I said, hey, are you guys sure you're tracking that? And the guy looks at me and goes, Mac, what did I tell you? We got it. I said, okay. So I don't know what happened, but a few minutes later, the navigator comes on the bridge, and he looks, and he says, wake up. Now, these are the things that are supposed to happen. Wake up the CO from his inboard cabin. Boom, somebody runs in there, pounds on his door. And his indoor cabin is literally steps away from the bridge. Okay, he's got two offices. His at-sea cabin, did I say inboard? His at-sea cabin and his, you know, in-port cabin. An office, which is much bigger, okay? So, Don Baird, Captain Type, United States Navy, he comes walking onto the bridge, tying his robe, looks, right, and says this, prepare to sound the collision alarm, come to heading, bum, 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 engines, ba, 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 and I was just sitting there watching him. Woo. That's pretty, now we know why he's the CO. He's like on this shit. And so they did none of that on the Fitzgerald. None of that. Now, I'm talking about Marines on the exterior of the ship. Marines. So I don't know whose head was up their ass in the crow's nest, because there were signal sailors up there. They had binoculars, they run the flags up, they're up there trying to stay warm, blah, 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 blah. And so it's not, I don't understand. I don't understand. So even we infantry guys, like, can look and go, that ship's going to hit us. But for whatever reason, Navy can't do it. And so so that story is in the news today. What she's trying to do, what her defense counsel is trying to do, is say, look, you know, those lights were bad, therefore it's not an excuse, therefore she's not guilty. Right? People got confused. No, no. Her dereliction of duty has nothing to do with those lights. Because even if their lights are screwed up, you might mistake that at a distance. When that thing continues to close with you, long before you're going to, you know, sound the collision alarm, the thing's a skyscraper in the ocean, man. It's not like you can miss it. You got flat, and then you got that, and it's lit. Oh, they had the wrong lights up. Well, it really doesn't matter because it's coming towards us, right? We can see that on the radar. We can see it with our eyeballs, for God's sakes. So I read this shit. That's going to exonerate her. And here's the deal. That night in the Fitz, and I said this before, and I apologize for boring you if you've heard it, but there's a lieutenant on the bridge, happens to be female, lieutenant in the CIC. They don't like each other. They don't trust each other. They don't talk during the ship's transit of a busy state, of a busy shipping lane. Now, normally what you hear is, you know, is a conversation between those two. You're tracking, you know, this track right here. And then the person on the bridge says, yes, you know, recommend you bring, you know, we go to course, you know, blah, 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 blah. So they're helping you drive the ship because their radar is looking out. They got it plotted. You're doing other things on the bridge. And so there's this conversation of what's going on. So they build your situational awareness. They didn't speak. The one in the Combat Information Center was doing paperwork the whole night. So, anyway, we'll talk to Jeff Zulowitz about that. But, Marine Corps News. General Julian Alford, otherwise known as Dale Alford, to his friends, he's going to be promoted to Major General. He was the base commander as a Brigadier General at Camp Lejeune when it got hit by that hurricane. And he was at General Furness's change of command, went to Afghanistan shortly thereafter. He is there right now. And is there one more story? No, that's it. That's all. That's also... I'm sure the Commandant's happy. There's no new bad Marine Corps stories in the news. So that's going on. Top five stories in Early Bird are, number one, space-based interceptors and drones with lasers. The Pentagon's Missile Defense Review wish list is revealed. The long-delayed Missile Defense Review, which will be formally introduced by President Trump at the Pentagon today, will call for research and investment to ensure America's security for the next several decades. Laser technology, the F-35, an ICBM killer, and potentially putting interceptors in space. Yeah, so the president supposedly, the president supposedly headed over to the Pentagon today, and where he will announce this. So that in the news. Second story, Army Chief confirms U.S. will hand off the fight to ISIS. President Trump's nominee for Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, or Miley, whichever way you say it, went out of his way this morning to praise U.S. allies, including the Kurds in Syria and the alliance-based strategy of former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. Quote, kind of interesting here. The Army has aligned itself with Secretary Mattis's national defense strategy, which we will not walk away from, General Miley told an association of U.S. Army at a U.S. Told an association of the U.S. Army breakfast. It's a solid strategy. It's written in history. It's written in the blood of generations past, and we subscribe to it. Kind of interesting. You know who's not going to like that? Exactly. D. Trump. Anyway, General Miley talking about U.S. will hand the ISIS fight in Syria. Question is, right, he says that, who's going to hand the fight to? Quote, we are determined to finish that off and then hand the battle off to our indigenous partners. So there's your answer. His comments came hours after a suicide bomber killed four people in Manbij, Syria, including two U.S. troops, a Defense Department civilian, and one quote-unquote contractor. Three more Americans were injured in the blast, for which ISIS declared responsibility. Milley did not say when U.S. troops would leave Syria, but his characterization suggests a change of one mission goal for the Americans, who until Trump's tweet last December were intending to remain in the country until a UN-brokered peace talks reach a peace deal in Geneva. However, that's now been put on hold because President of the United States tweeted and essentially handed Syria to Russia and Iran. There you have it. Now we're trying to slow walk that shit, right, without embarrassing the President of the United States for being an ass clown. Third story, two U.S. troops, two American civilians killed in ISIS attack in Syria. We talked about that. Four, Trump to use federal funds to prop up U.S. bomb makers. U.S. President Donald Trump approved direct federal investment for suppliers of American bomb parts and chemicals as part of it. As much as $250 million in direct investments by the Pentagon to fix supply chain vulnerability. So maintaining your supplies is kind of an important thing. And sometimes these companies, because they're, you know, they're vital to national security, they need to be kept afloat. And they're vital, so you've got to do that. Number five, U.S. increasingly concerned about a Chinese attack on Taiwan. So we talked about this yesterday. This article comes out of from the website Foreign Policy. They write very long things, and they tend not to have very many pictures, so you would not see it around the Marine Corps very much. A new assessment of China's military power published by the DO, the Defense Department's Defense Intelligence Agency, hints that Beijing is building up its military capabilities so that it will have a range of options to attack Taiwan if it decides to, and potentially the United States if it intervenes militarily. The news comes amid Washington's renewed focus on Beijing. Meanwhile, Acting Secretary of Defense Patrick Shanahan, on his first day on the job earlier this month, told his staff to focus on China, China, China. The assessment began to emerge in the U.S. media. A senior Chinese official warned the U.S. Navy's top officer on Tuesday in Beijing against any interference in support of Taiwan's independence. In a meeting with Chief of Naval Operations Admiral John Richardson, General Li Zhuzheng, a member of the Central Military Commission, said Beijing would defend its claim to Taiwan at any cost. All right. Well, that would be your choice. Coincidentally, in the South China Sea, something that's long overdue, the United States and the British Royal Navy are conducting joint operations. There was one other, yeah, at any cost, the Chinese. You know, everybody, like, could you dial it down, really? Could you dial it down? I guess no. You know, and that's why it's important for the Brits, the Japanese, and the Australians should also be in the South China Sea with us. And as a group saying, look, this is not, you're not going to steamroll China. You don't own the South China Sea enough already, right? And so that needs to happen. And the sooner that happens, obviously, the better. The Service Navy Association is having an event. I was looking for something that talked about operational readiness discipline in the Navy at their Surface Navy Association. Because what I see of the Surface Navy, no bueno. Mac, it's only the 7th Fleet, blah, 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 blah. You're right. I got it. But the level of dysfunction, pretty high. You would think that would continue to be an ongoing thing, that when you have a Navy Service Association meeting, that would break squelch. That would be something that would be a consistent horizontal theme because of the reports, including the Fort investigation, that have come out. It is not there. Another headline. This is out of the Pentagon. This is from Breaking Defense. Trump's pick for Joint Chiefs praises allies, Kurds, and MATIS strategy. You better be careful, man. President doesn't go for that kind of stuff. That's why he fired him, right? He fired him. An M-72 LAW rocket firing incident at the infantry officer course in Quantico sent two Marines to the hospital. In a training incident on January 9th involving the firing of a M-72, we've been firing these things since Vietnam, light anti-tank weapon, or a LAW, at IOC held aboard Quantico, Virginia, sent two Marines to the hospital. What happened? Marine Corps Training Command provided few details, but said that a student and an enlisted instructor were treated at a local hospital for minor injuries and have since been released. Firing the LAW is a routine scheduled event. I don't know what would have happened. Did he shoot it in the ground and it blow up? Yeah, it comes in a tube. You extend the tube, right? The sight pops up. So it's designed to be carried. It's a lightweight thing, right? So it's a rocket, right? And it's in a tube. Tube's got a sling, right? And you can move with these things. That's what they were designed to be, like munitions, like a hand grenade. You shoot it and you throw it away. So when you get ready to shoot it, you stop. You yank this clip, and the sling is attached to caps that are on the end. Once you throw this clip, those things fall away. Now you have the tube. You take the tube, you press a button, you extend it, the sights flip up, you're ready to go. All you got to do is arm it, you pull something, aim it, shoot, and run. Right? Because you got a tank, normally, it's a pretty large area. So I don't know how the shooter would be injured, and I could see that if the shooter's not paying attention and the person who's on the safety position supervising them could get hit by the back blast. I don't understand how the student would get injured too. So to me, if the students, it's a 66-millimeter rocket, by the way. So I don't know how the student gets injured. The only way the student gets injured is if something stupid happens and it gets fired, like, pretty close, and then explodes. So, always interesting. Always interesting. That's why you got to pay attention, man. Head in the game. Head in the game. That's why I don't like hand grenades. Got to stand there and stare at their hands. Did you melt that? Let's see. Two F-15s, this is from Stars and Stripes, make emergency arrested landings within minutes of each other on Okinawa. What? Safety issues force a pair of F-15 fighter jets to land on the same runway in opposite directions within minutes of each other this week at the Air Force's most active base in the Far East. That's not good. So somebody declares an emergency, turns around. They can't fly the pattern. They have to fly straight back. Army plans to ramp up rotations to U.S.-Germany combat centers. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Jeff Zulowitz is going to join us. He's a writer for Navy Times. He's been covering this, and so we're going to get his thoughts on. First of all, I'm going to ask him, how did they get the investigation? Nobody said anything about that. So we'll get to the bottom of that. So don't touch that dial. He's an interesting guy, and he's an outstanding writer. And has been all over the story, and it has so many questions that until this last report that somehow or other got in the hands of Navy Times, I mean, you didn't know. How did this happen? How could this not happen? How could they not see this? You know, they've got redundant radars. They've got people there. How do you drive into another ship in the middle of the night on a clear night in calm seas, right? All right, more of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.